You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
We're just testing. We're live, and we're really live because we don't have an engineer. Well, I mean, you know, it's been a while since I did any sound engineering.
Hold on, there you go.
Oh, and here is the vomit spots. And hello, everyone. Welcome to Bras, Bitches, and Balls, episode 21, I think. Yay, we're finally, the podcast can finally drink legally. Okay, so great. And to celebrate that, I have a shot of whiskey in my tea, so that's nice.
Which is way far away from you.
Which is way far away from me and needs to come this way. So I'm Nick. I'm stepping in as an engineer. Today we have Gary.
Hello,
Gary. We will get to you in a moment, and we will also look at your lovely guitars and talk about your varied career. And as always, we have Lisa.
Hello.
Who no doubt has questions. Lee's got the live video going, which she does, I think.
Which one's your boozy?
Both would be great.
Both are booze.
Both are booze, yeah. And here's Lee.
All right, hi, welcome to Bras, Bitches, and Balls, the podcast that will not say no, even if we don't have a sound engineer. All right, so I'm putting on my headphones. Can everyone hear me?
We're a little late, but
it's not our hot mess this time.
Yeah, it is not. So, Lee, though, you were up late last night. Where were you?
I was on a train with a bunch of really smelly people.
Nobody got that reference.
Bound to Nowhere. Yeah, I was on a crazy train.
That's more your speed of music.
Thank you. Sometimes. I went to Chicago.
Why did you go to Chicago?
Because I'm opening another bra shop in Chicago like a mad woman.
And you got the keys.
I did. I've got one key. One key.
One key to rule
them all. One key. And I keep reaching in my pocket going, don't lose the key.
You might need to make a copy of that key.
Yeah, I need to copy that key in a big way.
Put it in a lockbox somewhere.
Just don't give it to Andy Serkis for his birthday. This is what you just don't want to do that.
Well, and then I put a security system on said space because, like, probably 30 people have that key. And there's nothing in it, but right. I have possession of it.
At some point, there will be things in it.
There will be lots of
pretty bras.
Yes.
And it is going to be in Hyde Park, Chicago.
Right near the Obama's house.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, no stalking.
No stalking. But, you know, if Michelle needs a bra, I'm there for.
So you have the keys, and we're looking at doing a little bit of build out. When do you think that the Hyde Park location is going to be open?
Well, in my mind, it's going to be open April 15th, mid-April. That's just... I did that for Cafe Detroit back in 2003. We opened April 15th.
Uh-huh.
I always remembered
it. Tax day.
And it used to be. And now that's just, I can't get it out of my head. So that means that must be the day it's going to happen.
If not before.
Right. I'm sure we'll do some soft.
A party grand opening at some point.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Vodka, maybe even.
Vodka, mimosas, Bloody Marys, whatever.
Buttery nipples.
I see what you're doing there.
Hey.
That was unrehearsed. Okay.
So you have a promotion going on, and what is it called?
It's called the Ides of March. Oh, no, it's not. It's called the Brides of March.
That's where somebody gets murdered.
Hey.
She's mixing the murder and the brush off.
If it's the right wedding, you know, if it's a Dothraki wedding.
it's not the red wedding.
Or a Billy Idol wedding.
Mm-hmm. So, for the Brides of March, you brought Betty in.
In all white, but she's... It's going to be really hard to see her, I think.
Yeah, bring her up. We'll see.
I usually show her on the live video. We can make this work.
So Betty is wearing a bridal robe, which looks like a Rocky robe on the back. It's got bride in sparkly...
Can you say that Swarovski word?
Swarovski crystal?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That was pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. So bride, and then I tied her up in a little bow there.
So we can untie her like a present.
Yeah. Huh? We kind of were looking for a togo look, but this is more of a girly togo look.
Yeah. And this is Maria. Maria is a strapless bra by Ilomi.
I mean, to take the...
You want to defrock her?
Yes.
Sorry, Gary.
We're
going to
deflower
Betty.
So a lot of times when people come in to get a strapless bra from us, they'll say stuff like, I need a half bra. And we can figure out what you mean by that. And then they'll say also, I need a convertible bra. Or if I come in with the strapless bra, they're like, why does it have straps also? But that's so that you can convert it to different things. And the Maria is great for that. She's got a very old-fashioned, beautiful look to her. She has some boning in the breast itself this one does go up into the double H, UK double H. But you can bring the straps up. You can crisscross them in the back. You can use them for one shoulder. It's very versatile. But you've got some beautiful detailing.
It looks like an old-timey lace, like off-white lacy.
Yeah, doesn't it have a pretty vintage look?
It does.
And in the back, it's got a wider back. I'm not going to drop her on you because that would hurt. She's got a – there's four rows of hooks.
Oh, okay.
Three levels, but four rows this way, so it's wider. And that's going to help stabilize that strapless so that it doesn't fall down. When you do go for strapless, please try them on. Don't just think, I can just get my regular size, because sometimes you really need a special fit, especially to make sure the wire is behind the breast, the gore is sitting as flat as possible, and you don't have any fluffies. Now, some people like the fluffies in a strapless bra because they are wearing a strapless dress and they want to have that look.
Right.
No judgment here. I really don't give a shit how you wear your boobs. Just tell us how you want to do it, and we can help you with that. Yeah. So that's Betty. In the Ilomi, I love this.
So the Ilomi, and you said that's pretty. The Maria.
That's the Maria.
And there's a matching panty, or is that a similar panty but not?
I'm pretty sure that's a similar. Yeah, that's an Azure panty.
Azure panty, but same kind of like lacy side panels.
Yeah, we can make it work.
But they're wide. I like that rather than like the little string side panels.
Some people like the little strings, but yes.
Yeah, well, I probably would have when I was... younger and smaller.
Yeah. but Maria also comes in black.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we could, I like to keep the beige around. So what is the Brides of March special? The Brides of March special is 20% off of all of our bridal for the entire month of March. So, yeah.
And how do we know what's bridal? I mean, obviously the bride thing.
Most of it'll say
bridal.
bridal, or it'll be white, and or we'll tell you, yes, that's from our bridal selection. Okay. If it's chartreuse, typically not going to be bridal. Yeah,
probably not the fashion colors, but the beiges and light.
Deep purple is not going to.
Not a bridal color, even if you're going to wear a purple wedding gown. No. That's cool.
But some of the light blue that we have is in our bridal collection, and we have naughty and nice in our bridal collection because, you know.
Because we all like to be a little naughty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, you are doing layaway. Right?
Yes,
you want to talk about how that works?
Yeah. So layaway is pretty typical, like your grandmother's layaway. You come in, you see a bunch of stuff that you want. You decide you're really only going to take one or two things, but you're going to put one on layaway. You've got 90 days to pay it. We ask for a deposit down, $20 per bra. And if you don't pay it within 90 days, we take a $10 stocking fee and send you, you have the money on a credit. So you don't ever lose that. But yeah, 90 days, pay off your bras.
So if I put $20 down and I end up deciding I'm not going to buy it, you keep $10 and I get $10 that I can use
later. Because it's been off the floor for 90 days that somebody else couldn't have bought it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yay.
So if you are like kind of looking for something but you're short on cash, you can always come in and hold something so that, you know, it's not going to be gone, especially the fashion colors.
Especially the fashion colors. And the other cool thing is a lot of people have birthdays or different things coming up that somebody else might want to purchase something for them. Hmm. So if you came in, you know, maybe your mom would want to throw $10 on your layaway.
Oh, so they could just pay on the layaway.
Right.
That's nice.
In your name. So all that's acceptable. Happy.
All right. So we have a lot of things to talk about that are not busted news.
We do.
And we have a guest.
We do.
So we should probably bring him in and talk to him. And then we have some things that he may or may not know about.
Okay.
Probably not magnetic eyelashes, but.
I don't know. His career. So,
do you know about magnetic eyelashes?
They're very tasty.
Nick, do you want to talk up? You want to
intro
Gary's background?
Yes. So Gary,
I hear he's pretty impressive.
Yeah, Gary is, you know, very, very, very significant. Very significant. Hello, wave hello to the significant man.
Howdy, folks.
Gary is someone who has a lot of history with Detroit punk and with. Detroit culture in general, because as well as being the founder of, pronounce the name of the band, Gary.
Cynicide.
Hey. Cynicide.
Not cyanide, but it was Lee a combination of the words we both used.
Yep.
Because he said something and I was like, but I read it like that.
Yep.
I like it better, Cynicide. It's a nice name.
Okay. as well as being a member of Cynicide, which is a Detroit punk legend, Gary was also responsible for so many people in Detroit learning about people like Lloyd Kaufman with Troma and all sorts of bizarre and hard to find foreign language movies and anime and things because he was the owner of Thomas Video. The most,
where was one Thomas of the Video most awesome located? Thing.
Well, you know, we moved around. You know, we were essentially for many years in Clawson on Main Street, south of 14 Mile. And then we ended up like the last 6 or 7 years, we were at Rochester Road and 14. So, you know, kind of the northern suburbs. But we drew in from all over the metro Detroit area. Yeah. And he had lots of weird nod films that you just wouldn't find anywhere.
Yeah. And it used to be like if – say for example, you wanted to watch like, you know, the foreign language Oscar winners –
yeah.
You probably couldn't find them anywhere, but you'd find them at Thomas Video eventually. So, you know, it was a great cinephile's dream, including people like Quentin Tarantino, who at least once came by.
Twice.
Nice.
Right, yeah, that was great.
And so there's that. And now Gary also makes little guitars, which are beautiful, which we're going to look at
Little tiny guitars. Little miniature guitars for people this big. And you just like you pluck them like
it's,
this.
It's kind of like the world's smallest violin, sort of but like, you know, slightly rockier.
Put them next to Stonehenge and we could all draw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's basically Stonehenge from Spinal Tap. Yeah.
There you go.
And That's a very potted biography, but we can always include a larger one on the actual podcast.
Yeah, the actual podcast.
Yeah, we can actually include the larger one on our page. We can go through.
I was like, Are we on the actual podcast?
Sorry, I'm hearing from a potential other engineer that just distracted me. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. Have, yeah. Don't doesn't really. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
So, all right. So we've got punk rock stuff to talk about, guitars to talk about, magnetic eyelashes to talk about,
American Gods to talk about.
American Gods. Wow. Are they going to bring it back?
Oh yeah.
Yes, but it's not coming back. They got a new showrunner, and I have so been, they're not coming back until like January of 2019.
Just so you know, I've been cussing both of you out every time I go.
Do you love it?
Well, I love it, and then all of a sudden I was like, okay, where's season two?
Right. No, back in November, they...
Wait, where's season two?
The original showrunner quit, and so they had to get a new showrunner, which they just announced at the beginning of February.
Yeah, I've been reading that.
Why? I know, I'm very sad.
Why did they quit?
I think part of it was creative differences between Neil Gaiman and them, the showrunner, but also
Ian.
They also had some budget issues.
You know what? I could send Gwen a message and say like,
WTF, we need some more American Gods.
Yeah, okay.
So, Gary, have you seen American Gods?
I have not.
Oh my gosh.
It'll be so much fun.
You might want to wait until next fall so that you get season two sometime in the nearest future. But
well, I had
you have
no
it on
idea.
DVD, so you can watch it again.
I had no idea that was the end. And as I kept trying to find more, I was getting really just like, Lisa. It's sort of like Game of Thrones. What the?
Yeah,
what do
it's
you mean
kind of a similar
wait?
Thing. You have to wait for 2 years for the next season. So American Gods is about the old gods and how they came to America. And now they're in a fight with the new gods. So the new gods are media and technology and globalism.
You know, it's all really about attention. Yeah. That's Jefferson. Really all it is. It's about attention.
Worship is
basically
for
your
like
attention. Because if you're given attention, you're relevant. Right?
Right.
And if you're not relevant, you're dead.
Right. So the old gods are dying.
So some would think. Yeah.
Yeah. So Thor is like trying to, well, I guess not Thor, but we've got Odin. And Anansi, an African god, and Zernobog, a Slavic god, and they all.
And Ostara.
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 Easter.
Oyster.
Oh, I love that they cast
Kristen Chenoweth.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh,
perfect.
My goodness. She is a breath of fresh air.
Yeah,
I love all the Jesuses right? and how sensitive they are and how sad they are when they learn that people are doing things in their name and then like,
they are. It's a very sweet character. I like Dead Wife. Makes me very, very
I just
happy.
Love the relationship between the leprechaun and Dead Wife.
Yeah, yeah,
that's like the best thing ever.
Well, it's a really interesting show. The costume is great. The filmography is beautiful. Is that really a
the
word?
The cinematography?
Did I say that wrong?
Yeah.
I knew what you meant.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. It's good. And I'm not into violence, but it's got a lot of really stylized violence where it's like blood dripping across
the
screen.
I kind of like
slowly,
the violence.
And it's in like dark blues with reds. You know, it's really, it's beautiful.
It's a beautifully filmed thing. And the opening sequence is lovely. Especially if you enjoy quasi psychedelic imagery with neon symbolism.
It's I'm ready.
Beautiful.
You want
to need to watch this thing.
Okay, all right, here we go.
It'll be fun.
So okay. I told Lee to watch that, and she did. And then I also suggested that she listened to a podcast because we're big fans of true crime podcasts mostly. But I found. Are you?
No.
Do you listen to podcasts?
No. Lisa. Uh-oh. No. Lisa, more on the mic.
Oh, more on the mic.
And I'm like, oh, what? Sorry. Right. I know, I'm like, what's going on?
Yes. There's a man standing over here, and he's ready to tap on your shoulder.
He's coming.
We're into true crime podcasts.
Oh, you might, to interject, you know, I make these cigar box guitars.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And my partner in life, Terry Light.
Uh-huh.
You know, she helps me, not on all of them, but she makes images and puts them on there. But true crime, I'm getting to a point here. What she does.
You don't have to. We never do.
Yeah, we don't.
You know, it's hard to make money in art and live on it and things. So she does have a regular gig, so to speak. And that is, she works for the Detroit police. And she is a crime scene technician.
She's really into true crime.
And she works from 4 p.m. until midnight every night.
Oh, my goodness.
Frequently not getting out until 2 or 3 in the morning, because if they start a scene, they must stay there until it's finished. Right. And
I can already see the wheels turning in Lee.
I know, can she get up early?
Different cities handle things different way, but this is the ways. This is the city of Detroit. They're kind of, they're in charge. Once the police secure the scene and everything, they cannot leave until her team processes everything.
She's a very important person.
She is.
And they make reports. Very highly detailed reports, and it is completely pivotal for the prosecution of every case. Without those reports, those people could not be prosecuted.
Right.
So
right.
Somebody gets shot, you know, they've got to gather up
the bullets,
everything,
where they went.
Right.
And
they've got to make charts on the where lines, the body is, and right.
The amount of mass.
Willem Dafoe does always, in Boondock Saints. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't remember Boondock Saints, except that you and Joe love it.
Well, so
and
she sees a lot of violence.
Name is in it. Yeah, I can imagine.
A lot. An enormous amount of violence. It's sometimes it's – so what she does many times is she comes back and then has to get it out of her head, and she paints.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
She's, you know, she's painting for hours, and then it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and she's crawling into bed.
Because she's like, I can't just go to bed after this.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, I need to basically lot of this.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So, you know, she did a drug overdose last night. You know, and she sees a lot of that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And they've got to go through the pockets of the person and see what's in there. And, they're handling the people and turning them around, and it's
wow.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, I don't know if I should say this. I'll say it anyway.
We only have tons of listeners.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, to me, one of the most weirdest ones was some poor man in an illegal grow operation somehow was banging on tank of nitrous oxide.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
And it blew up. So they have to come to the scene, and his legs over here and his arms over there.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's blood all over the walls. And she looks at the person that's left, and it's the skull is gone from the top. And because of the pressure, the whole brain is completely gone and scattered all over the walls.
Wow.
And you're terrifying.
Whoa. You asked for true crime. I'm giving it to you,
baby.
You
are giving us true crime. Wow.
This reminds me of when I was younger and I was actually doing work experience in a solicitor's office in England. And I mostly spent time with a guy who did probate and his... And it was basically him sitting there in the afternoon talking about so I had this one client, and then they didn't find him for hours, for days, and his scalp was attached to his mattress by the time.
Oh, I know somebody that had that happen to a relative.
Oh my god!
He was not found until two or three weeks after he passed away.
Yeah. I hear about that.
Yuck. I like to hear about
Gary Oldman. Let's go to Gary Oldman.
Yeah. No, we're going to talk about Disgraced Land.
That's it. Well,
Gary,
yeah.
Well, oh, sort of. Gary Oldman's, yes, Sid Vicious. Yeah. So we listened to several true crime podcasts, but I found one that is about true crime happenings in the music industry.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's called Disgraced Land. And the guy who does it kind of has that like rock and roll swag kind
he
of
does,
voice.
Yeah.
You know?
Did, doesn't
Nick,
sound
did you
unlike,
listen to it?
I have not. Okay. Oh. I have not, but.
I've listened to two of them so far.
What did you think? You tell me your reaction.
I didn't want to stop listening to it. So I enjoyed it.
So now, you did enjoy it?
Yeah. The Jerry Lewis one, I didn't know a lot of that information.
Right.
What a dick.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Jerry
Lee
Lewis. Not Jerry Lewis, the comedian.
Well, he was a dick.
Jerry Lewis is a dick.
He's a dick, too.
Well, yeah, but
Great Balls of Fire.
Great Balls of Fire guy.
Was a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you always hear about him marrying his 13-year-old cousin.
Yeah,
but
that's
fact
like
that he was
nothing.
Married five times and may have killed his fourth wife and wow. really
probably killed
his fifth
wife.
Holy shit.
And you're like, what the fuck? I didn't hear about this.
Yeah, and he was fucking anything that would walk
and would
around
like,
and their his wife's sisters. He's trying to bed everybody.
Like telling his wife he wanted to bed her sister and wanted to have a threesome with them. You know, like,
yes, bring her over.
If only he'd met Jacqueline Dupre.
I'm telling you, this guy was a complete and utter jackass.
Oh yeah.
And but the storyteller.
Oh, the storyteller is great.
The storyteller is great because he makes you I wanted to hear everything, right? and he brings it down to a level where you're like, well, of course, the guy was a god to that area.
Yeah.
So then he starts talking about Sid Nancy, and truth be told, the dude I dated in high school was named Earth Dog.
And not his real name, Estrick.
Not his real name. And Earth Dog loved Sid Vicious. So he wore the chain around his neck with a lock.
Yeah.
He was really tall and skinny. He played the bass. Didn't do that heroin that I'm aware of.
Probably paid the bass better than Sid Vicious.
Vicious couldn't play.
Pretty much everyone in this room could play the bass better than Sid Vicious.
Yeah. But he did it his way.
Which was, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah. Well, so it was fun to listen to it again. But, you know, because of the time period that I grew up in and kind of still having the shadow of the Sex Pistols on the youth of our time, I was familiar with the story, and I liked hearing this young guy talk about it.
Yeah, he was not. I mean, I knew that Sid and Nancy were both dead, but I didn't know. I thought they both died of an overdose. I didn't realize that she had been murdered.
Yeah,
yeah, she had been murdered, and there. I mean, there's still a lot of questions as to whether he did it, because I mean, the door was wide open, people were coming in and out of there. He had blacked out. There was a lot of drugs. I mean, this was he wasn't by himself.
Yeah,
right. But all the story about his mom.
Yeah. So Gary, did you know about all of this? Because you probably knew more than I did. I'm
yes.
Yeah. So did you know about the mom? Like what his mom was?
No, I didn't.
She had him mulling drugs when he was like 6 and 7 years old.
Right.
Disgusting.
Yeah, you got to listen to this. It's really amazing. Yeah.
You know, I will say that, the Sex Pistols, it was, it was an amazing sensation.
Mm-hmm.
We were hearing about the Sex Pistols before we heard any of their music. I mean, months before.
Really?
Yes.
Like just hearing of them?
Yeah,
yes.
Because it was coming over. It was that first wave of music, and it was ugly music.
No, there
it
was no music. What was happening, they formed a band.
Yeah.
You know, Malcolm McLaren kind of got them together, and they did this thing. And then he basically started parading them around in front of the media at where they would misbehave.
And spit on you.
And right, the one talk show host goaded
Bill
him into
Grundy.
Swearing.
Bill Grundy.
Okay, so they were like swearing, you know, swearing at the host. So the label that they're signed to, and I forget which one it was now.
EMI, maybe?
Well, that's where they...
That's where they ended up.
So the label, they had like a major label contract. So the label goes, we can't stand for this, and they fired him.
Right.
Paid him off. The band didn't have to do a thing, and then they proceeded to, you know, try to create more mayhem. So it was a good 6 months that we were reading things in the, like, the free press about.
But I've never heard any of their music.
So here I am. I'm like, I am really just not happy with the state of rock and roll. You know, I mean, it was like not for me. I was like really bugged. I loved the Stooges, of course, and, you know, Roxy Music and things, but I was looking for, you know, looking for more. And I would read about this and I would go, oh, you know, this sounds great. So when the record finally came in, it was just an import. It wasn't US released. It was Anarchy in the UK.
Yeah.
It comes in. There was this record store I was, you know, friends with. And I walked in when I knew they got their imports. They open up the case. Anarchy in the UK, Sex Pistols. It's a 45. I'm like, oh, yes. I hadn't heard a note. And I ran home and put it on. Was like, oh, this is great. You know, it's just – And it was like every couple of months, it was like a little love letter came out. It was a little 45.
So they didn't do a full album at first. They just did singles.
There were four 45s that came out. And then finally the album. And that was the only disappointment, that the album was all of the 45s and a few other songs.
Right.
So it was like, you know,
I have this.
So it was this big, you know, it was a big sensation, and they came to the U.S. and they toured, and I guess it was a huge disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Trouble.
There was a documentary about that, I think, about like just that first tour, but I can't remember the name of it. But yeah,
right. But so I mean, when you talk about like Sid and Nancy, to me that's like. That's like part of the end of the story.
Right.
Everything was going on before this, and it was exciting. And it was wild. And it was like, yeah, this is for me. You know, God save the queen. Yeah. they had him. He had him play on a barge. Right.
During the Jubilee.
The Jubilee, right? The queen's anniversary. Yeah. And they did all this publicity stuff. So it was exciting. They were rocking the boat. They were shaking things up. It was – they were saying anything. And – those of us who were seeking something new, we just loved the fuck out of it. You know, it's like, yeah. Oops. Boop.
No. You can swear. Last week we had Doxy turning the air all sorts of like ultraviolet with her language.
You can be the talk show host, and I'll be Johnny Rotten.
Yeah,
Say
something else. What else can you say? Oh, such a big man. Such a big man. Oh, very rude.
You spit my drink all over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go on. Do something else. And then one of the girls has to say, "I like you." Because that's actually what it is. There is a great thing by Kevin Eldon where he recreates that, except the Sex Pistols are Amish. And it's delightful.
So were you making music like, was this because of them, or were you already kind of headed down the punk?
Well, path? I was already making music. I was already playing. And one of the things that really bugged me was that, you know, you listen to like, you know, FM radio, you know, and FM rock radio. And, you know, at one time they were turning you on to music that was fun and exciting.
Right.
But I kind of over a couple of years came to disdain them.
Right.
And, you know, discover that they were just complete assholes and that they were actually not playing music. And so, you know, the Ramones come out and they wouldn't play them. And I discovered just by going to record conventions that there would be these little 45s from some obscure band in the East Coast or West Coast or somewhere in the middle of the country. And I would just, you know, get it and go, this is amazing. You know, and it was this big spectrum of music of – that would, I guess, be called at some point new wave. So it could be like something that would sound like the Ramones or the Sex Pistols.
Right.
Or something that would sound like they stepped out of 1965 garage pop. You know,
new wave is such a weird mashup of both punk and then what would eventually become like, you know, well, later Roxy Music, you know, the later period
but
of
it was,
that. And
but
stuff.
It was fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was fun. So, I mean, I was all turned on by this, and I was already playing, and I you know, it made me nuts. And so I wrote this song called Gutless Radio. You know,
oh, play it.
And
you know what? Send us a link. Yeah. We will post it.
I'm like, you've got to get your
And I mean, I thought, how amazing. We are, you know, what band would start out and make their own record? I was totally into the whole do-it-yourself thing. Uh-huh. And we did it. And what band would start out with their first single giving the finger to the radio?
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, we did, but it was really fun making the record. And you found out, well, you got to get the tapes mastered. And
uh-huh.
We went to the studio in East Detroit that the MC5 recorded, right? Recorded back in the USA. And we were like, it's like Nirvana, you know, and so it was real fun going through the whole process and then trying to get them out there and things. And then we just kept making records. And then I, you know, you kind of find out that there's other bands, you know, in town, and they're kind of like all alone, and
uh-huh.
you band together. And so I kind of gotten the idea of helping them issue records and then making a label and
right.
issuing records for them. And then I did all these compilations all through the 80s and into the 90s of like Detroit music, you know, and it's not, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say it documents the Detroit scene 100%, but.
But it documents what you saw.
Yes.
I mean, in your library.
And then who I could deal with, you know, because there's right. some people you can't deal with.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Maybe
that's
some
okay,
other
great.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Let me refer you to someone else.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Let me think about it.
Yeah. let me think. I'll get back to you. Yeah, and talking of your projects, shall we look at some of the guitars?
Yeah, so you
that's
said
a great idea.
You make guitars out of cigar boxes, and you brought a few of those.
Do you smoke cigars?
I don't.
Okay.
Though just I have. Curious. I mean, I went to the cigar shop, like getting cigar boxes and things. Guys like, oh, yeah, we can smoke some cigars. I thought, be cool, man. Don't get sick. don't do it. Don't get sick. I thought, yeah, I'll have a cigar, yeah.
You're like, I'm really just here for the boxes.
Right. You know, and they were all very nice, all really nice people. And I'm like, you know, puff on this cigar. I'm thinking, don't inhale and just be cool. And I'm thinking, I'm going to turn green. It's going to, but I like sat back and I'm like, oh, it's kind of, it gives you a little buzz.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. I quit smoking everything 20 years ago.
Today.
On Halloween.
Right.
On Halloween. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, I used to, if it lit, it was probably smoked. Oh,
given what your lungs have been doing the last 2 weeks, I'm glad you don't smoke.
Why, thank you.
All right. Oh,
so,
man. It's out
of
tune.
So these are cigar boxes that have a little designs. Each of them has a little bit of a design. You said your partner.
Yes.
Kind of glues those on. So this one is Crossroad Blues by Robert Johnson. The record.
Very good. Very good. Yeah.
The little record label that would
right,
be on the 45.
Yeah.
Not
78 at that
78,
time.
Yeah. That's
yeah,
right.
That
I had those thick yellow 78s.
Well, let's see. Where do I begin? Well, in reality, an instrument like this was things that people made because they didn't have any money. They couldn't go buy a guitar.
Right.
So, you know, in the late 1800s, through the Depression era especially.
That's how you made music.
They would. And, you know, they would see this is just a bolt.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's
a
bolt, big bolt.
A hinge for a tailpiece.
Love it.
You know, it's a bolt up here. And this is a cigar box.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you just kind of...
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, normally I would, like, screw this down and everything. You wouldn't really see the inside. And, you know, you put the... I carve the neck. I set the frets because otherwise it's not going to sound good. And amazingly enough, it is, you know, definitely still a kick where you've got the bolts at the nut in the bridge and
uh-huh.
you put a string through it and you go, oh, it makes a real sound. Wow.
It's got that bluesy twang.
Actually,
it does.
Taj Mahal would be so proud of that. Where would I buy one of those from you if I wanted to buy one of those?
Well, I am online on Etsy, Punk Roots Detroit.
He has a Punk Roots Etsy store.
Punk Roots Detroit at Etsy. On Etsy, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And Jackson I'm on Amazon.
And John, my nephews, you need to pay attention to this.
You're on Amazon?
I am on Amazon, and Gordy's Music in Ferndale has a couple of my guitars.
Oh.
I usually try to keep them, you know, a couple of guitars, keep kind of shuffling them over there. And, yeah, it's Punk Rock Roots Detroit.
Can I show
Etsy.
This one back here? Yeah. Do you mind if I grab your guitars?
I love her.
Isn't she beautiful?
It's so great.
Can you see her?
Now this
might want to bring
surface.
That one closer to the thing in a minute, but yes.
Terry Light did this.
It's beautiful.
It's lovely. It fits with the podcast as well, but it's just in general, it's just a beautiful
image. And
I
see it's plugged in.
It is, yeah.
He's got a mini amp back here. It's so cute.
Wow.
You know, people are always like, well, getting all your equipment is expensive. Well, okay, if you really want to make music, you'll make music.
Right.
This
is
beautiful.
And that's, you know, I mean, that's kind of mind-blowing to me. I love the idea of people building these themselves. I am perfectly happy to build them and sell them to you. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, the answers are you can definitely make this stuff yourself. I made this body out of pallet wood.
Yeah, I was going to say, this one is not a cigar box.
Yeah, it's not, but it's in that same tradition.
Does it have the same sound, or does the size of the wood make a different?
And you only have three strings here.
Every guitar sounds a little different. They can all have different characteristics. And yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, they generally have three strings, occasionally four. But, you know, the idea on this was that it was a one-stringed instrument without frets, played with like beer bottle or a liquor bottle or something. Jack White did something on It Might Get Loud where he like just had a plank of wood and kind of made a bridge and a nut and stretched a string across it. And then, you know, it's one of those things. So it's
– yeah.
So this is a three-stringed instrument. It's what they call an open tuning, which means it'll be a chord when you strum it. We'll give you the oh man, blue cheer. Oh, that's right.
Love blues music. You know, we have a friend who plays the banjo.
Yeah.
Clueless. Who are you talking about, man?
He used to go to banjo festivals. Is it Ed and Ellen?
It could be. I mean, Ed does crazy stuff.
I think Ed plays the banjo and would go to bluegrass.
So does Steve Martin.
But yeah, I love that. Like, it's an American sound. You know, like, that's distinctly American. Yeah. Type of music.
Right, absolutely.
Thank you for sharing that.
It's very
You're
cool.
welcome.
I love it.
All right.
Yeah, and she's beautiful. Though your instruments are beautiful.
Do you want to maybe if we unplug her from the amp and then we could actually bring her closer so that the people
can show the people up there.
I'll show
see.
The people.
The people.
Yeah, show the people.
People need
the
to
people
see
need
it.
To see this beautiful, beautiful instrument. And yeah, I love how there are differences in sounds with each one because that's the beauty of a handmade instrument. That's why
it's all going to be different.
Yeah, and that's why like Stradivarius violins sound like nothing else because they're very much handmade with like
Once
you know.
Once you hear one Stradivarius, you've heard them all.
Yeah.
Does anybody know where that quote comes from? Mm-mm. It's from the very first Pink Panther.
Oh, is it?
The very first Pink Panther, which was actually not about. The detective. It was not about Peter Sellers. Right. It was about
Gary. This is a recurring theme. She's always talking about the first Pink Panther.
I'm slightly obsessed.
And the second Pink Panther isn't called the Pink Panther or the Pink Panther Returns. It is called A Shot
in the dark.
Right.
Which is awesome. I love A Shot in the Dark.
I've got the whole collection. The only one I watch is the first one. I think the rest of them are just crap. Sorry, hate it for you, but I do.
Try the second one again. It's not bad.
Really?
Yeah.
The only thing I can remember is that one from the second one. Does your dog bite? No, my dog doesn't bite.
And, right.
Not my dog.
Not my dog, right.
I think I think that might be the third one, but yes. Yeah, the shot in the dark is a fun one. Because
we tried to watch the second one with Lively, and Lively was just like, this is crap. Oh. My 10-year-old's like, no, I want to watch it.
No, he is into Stranger Things, but he won't watch it after 6
right.
p.m.
No, just he's so very scared.
Oh, that's fascinating.
I picked him up from school yesterday, and beyond him telling me that I was a savage for eating his pizza crust that he had
savage.
Not licked.
Savage.
He also said, well, he asked me if I listened to music, and I'm like, you know, I have a hard time listening to loud noises sometimes, but so he was like, do you like blah, 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 whatever, Metallica? I'm like, yeah, that's more your mom's speed. I like them, but.
He got mad at me this morning because I turned it off from The Police. I was like, there was just one that rehumanized myself. I was like, this is getting on my nerves. So I turned it, and I turned it on Alice Cooper, and he was like, but that was The Police. But wait, that's Alice Cooper. I'm like, okay, good. You're fine.
Wow.
You're like, be fine.
You're all right. You're so, okay. And then we started talking about TV, and he was like, do you like The Food Network? I'm like, I love The Food Network. And then we started talking about MasterChef and Chopped and all that. But before that, he was like, yeah, and I like to watch Stranger Things. Do you watch Stranger Things? I'm like, I watched it a while ago. Are you on the first season or the second? Because I've only seen the first. And he's like, I've only seen like 3 episodes and it's scary. I won't watch it after 6 p.m. And then later he said, maybe 4 p.m. I said, that monster in the wall is pretty freaking creepy.
It is pretty
scary.
Hell
yeah. Yes. I had a hard time watching it for a
but
while.
But Winona Ryder is amazing in that.
Oh, yes, she
That's
is.
That's a comeback story.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She is amazing.
Yes. Okay, so...
We do have a couple. I want to talk about one thing. One thing.
Okay. One thing.
One thing.
All right.
That it has been annoying Lee for a while.
Okay.
Magnetic eyelashes.
Oh, okay. Magnetic eyelashes.
Which I did not know was a thing.
Delicious.
And I'm, magnetic.
Like magnets.
Eyelashes.
Like, so you're telling me that you put like one side on one side of your eye,
yep.
Like you clip them in, like you.
Yep.
Like you hold your eyelashes hostage.
I'm saying that that's the premise.
Right.
Does
that's
it
what
actually
you're...
happen? No.
And
it doesn't actually happen. So
how big are they?
They look like false eyelashes, but there's 2 rows of them, right?
And they're, oh,
and then
the
magnets are pretty small, but on your eyelashes, the weight of 2 magnets.
You're like.
Right. So I go into the drugstore. I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. I could probably do that because putting glue next to my eyes sounds stupid. And you know. And half the time I'm like, nobody can see my eyelashes anyway. I can't see my eyelashes anymore. After 40, your eyes go to hell. Who really cares, right?
Everything goes to hell.
It doesn't really matter. So I'm a sucker. I bought the mother. Yeah, I did it.
You were testing for the rest of us.
That was what I was doing. And then I tried to put these little hairy things on my eyes, and I thought it shouldn't take long. I just popped.
So they're like little magnetic spiders.
Yes. But then you can't get them to... Okay, your eyes are curved.
Right, and these are not?
Well, they should be.
But they're
not. But they're magnetic. So what's going to happen when you try to get them close to each other?
They're
going to wait.
Right, they're just going to go click, 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 click.
Right. So then they're just at the edges
of your
eyelashes.
And then they're hanging off your eyelashes.
It's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. So I turned on YouTube because, you know, the young people are like, just turn on YouTube. You can figure anything out if you look it up.
Anything.
I'm like, okay. So I watched this girl on YouTube having the same trouble I am. But you know what she picks up? Tweezers.
I'm not putting no tweezers near my pupil.
Why else would that be a problem with magnets?
Because the tweezers are metal, unless you have plastic.
Steel.
Little
bit
ferrous. Yeah. So it's not going to... She's like... For 10 minutes, and I'm watching this train wreck going, this is hysterical. This is fantastic. And she publishes it. Why? I don't know. But she's like,
so
I can't understand why it's not going on my eye.
It's stuck to the tweezers.
Science education. It's a really important thing.
Yeah, let's fund science, people.
I thought the point was you'd wear magnetic eyelashes. And the polarity would be opposite, so it would always keep your eyes open in case you were tired. You could, like, stay up for, like, days.
Oh, my
days.
God, that was...
See, and it'd be like...
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Your eyes wouldn't close.
And that would be
amazing.
And then
if you're arrested, it's
but
easy
it's only,
to do the
Ludovico
technique
on
you.
You don't put it on the
great.
Bottom.
Man.
Well, all I have to do is, like, hold the top up, right?
Right.
Then your eyes are dry.
Well,
I already have dry eyes.
Basically, you're Alex from Clockwork Orange.
Exactly. Right.
That's a movie.
Eggy Wags.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a movie I don't want to talk about.
Okay, so next week we'll be talking about Clockwork Orange.
Yes. I have a new TV show for you
guys. You have a new TV show.
I have a TV show for you this time.
Okay.
Altered Carbon.
What? That sounds familiar.
Altered Carbon is really fantastic, and it is having the premise there is that you are going to be alive forever because you're downloaded onto a chip, right?
Yeah.
And they just keep putting you in new bodies called sleeves.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's
kind of like The Island, only
much better.
Or Clonus.
Much better than The Island. You know. I liked The Island. There are pieces, parts of it. It was done in the old train station.
I think it was because it was filmed in Detroit. Yeah. Probably was really.
But The Island is basically a remake of a film that Mystery Science Theater did, which is called Parts, the Clonus Horror.
Interesting. So Altered Carbon.
Altered Carbon.
Where would we find it? Netflix?
I think it's Netflix. I'm pretty sure it's Netflix.
It is Netflix.
I watched the next
series.
Episode of American Vandals.
You didn't.
I did.
You bitch.
But I forgot it, so I'll watch
you
it again.
You did it without
with
me.
I'll watch it again with you. I forgot it.
Okay, so with that bombshell, Gary, would you like to play us out? It seems like that actually would be a good way to.
But we love you.
So yeah. I think next week we. By the way, stuff going on around town. There is a beer festival thing going on. Shit, I want to say it's a. Kobo, but I don't know.
Kobo
beer festival?
Hall?
Yeah, that sounds
over the weekend.
Right.
I believe that there is a beer festival.
I would look it up on my phone.
Deeker is actually playing an acoustic set at Third Man on Saturday.
Black Women Rock is coming up.
Yes.
Black Women Rock is coming up. Jessica Caramore, I'm actually one of the sponsors.
Because you asked Deeka last time she was here and she didn't know when. You know what it is, though?
I think it's March 18th.
Okay, we will.
You're not going to be in town.
I'll be in town. Oh, it's either March 17th or March 18th. But Black Women Rock is coming out. Jessica Caramore, Sabrina Nelson. Those are the two that I know that are going to be there because they're always there and they're fabulous and they make life more beautiful than Detroit.
We need to bring them on. Third Man has a acoustic unplugged event
this Saturday
morning.
So you could go down and get some beer during the day, and then stop at Third Man and listen to Deeka play her acoustic.
Exactly,
Deeka's amazing in person.
Yes,
I mean she's amazing on radio too, but really impressive.
Oh yeah,
fun absolutely. To watch, energy like no one's business.
Absolutely.
All right, well, Gary, I'm going to have nightmares now about. The crime scenes that you told us about.
Can you tell us your Etsy store one more time?
Punk Rock Roots Detroit. There you go. Etsy. Or, you know, if you search on Etsy for Cigar Box Guitar, you'll obviously see mine are the one with a lot of images on them. Usually sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
So, and also, on Amazon, just search for Cigar Box, or are you Punk Rock?
Yeah, on Amazon. It's a long story that I won't tell you. I'm on Amazon, but I'm on Amazon under two label names, Gary Reichel Guitars and Tremor.
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 Long story.
I have a Tremor.
Tremor, yeah.
Okay, beautiful. So, next week, I think we have Karen Debus.
I think so. I got to confirm with her, but she's going to come. Hopefully, she'll be here next week to talk about The Secrets of Detroit that's coming out soon.
Okay, so here we go. Gary, play this out.
Oh, man. Really? Okay, let's try it. Oh, Suzy Q. Oh, Suzy Q. Oh, Suzy Q. Baby, I love you, my Suzy Q. I like the way you walk. I like the way you talk. I like the way you walk. Like the way you talk, my Suzy Q.
Yay.